Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. BYU football takes on the SUU Thunderbirds in week two, following the first defensive shutout in 9 years, but a lackluster offensive effort against Sam Houston in week one. For today's roundtable discussion, we have BYU TV sports producer Hema Hemuli and coordinating producer for BYU Sports Nation, Ben Bagley. Thanks for joining me, gentlemen.
Malo lele.
What does that mean?
Saipe.
Are we doing, what language was that?
A little bit of Tongan for you.
Oh, Ben, how do you know Tongan? That's the real question.
That's about the extent of my knowledge.
It was convincing, though. It was very convincing. There was a lot to take in after last week's 14-0 win against Sam Houston, and I think we all went through a myriad of emotions. Our first topic we'll discuss is what worried us most from week one, but what did you see that gets you excited for week two? But before we get to him and Ben, let's hear from some of you guys, the fans. Jacob Flores on Twitter said, I'm excited to see how Aaron Roderick and the offense responds after a small panic following Saturday's outcome. I think they will put it on the Thunderbirds defense this weekend to make amends.
Did you put that one as the first one because you knew I was coming in? Because you know how excited I get when fans overreact? Because that was a very calm take on it.
Like, it was very rational.
It was week one. Let's look ahead to week two.
That's
a level-headed fan. Congratulations.
Good job, Jacob.
He said the optimal word is small panic, right? We shouldn't panic. Yeah. It's week one. Like,
no, it's true. And good job, Jacob. I like this one. Texas Coug MCK on Twitter said, patience is more than a virtue. It's necessary. Be patient and watch the wave of winds build momentum. That was very poetic.
Poetic.
Yeah, good job.
When did BYU fans become level-headed?
I don't know.
This is new. We like this.
It's because we're part of a Power Five now.
We got a Power Five mentality.
Yes, you
got
to have a Power Five mentality.
That explains the Texans being so poetic now.
At Jesse J. Cottom, worried me the most was lack of offensive performance in the first half. I'm excited for our defense and the linebacker / corners along with our punter. At Dallin, getting to see the people and getting the free shirts and to see us win. That's what gets him most excited about the SUU game. At Kimmy Palau, please, I am hoping that we won't feel the same again how we felt in game one with our offense. Can't get more first downs and our QB1 and RB1. We want to see tremendous changes and vibes this weekend against SUU and so on. Pretty level-headed,
mm-hmm.
I would say, for the most part.
Yeah, I don't know how big of a we're going to get to this, but just if you're expecting leaps and bounds from game one to game two, are they my leaps or are they Superman leaps? Because there's two various levels of leapage there.
Right.
And you'll probably see a progression, but I don't think you're going to see Superman leaping buildings in single bounds here. So,
Well, let's begin with your guys' opinions. Hema, let's start with you. What worried you most coming out of week one, but what gets you most excited going into week two?
Not necessarily worries. I mean, you look at the offensive side of the ball, and like it's almost all brand new, right? So I knew there was going to be some setbacks. That first score early, like, made me feel like, oh, maybe we do have our stuff together. But then, like, as the game went on, you see the hiccups that are expected in a first week game. And so I wouldn't say worried necessarily. I do hope to see some improvement within the next couple games before, you know, Big 12 play. But that's my opinion on the offensive side of the ball. The defensive side I thought was phenomenal, and I thought I saw everything that I wanted to see out of a Jay Hill defense, you know, this season. So,
which was surprising. I mean, it's surprising to get what you want.
Yeah.
That's what everyone wanted to see, but you still don't know with a brand new defense, and it was very satisfying to see what Jay Hill brought.
I mean, look at you using the vernacular of this generation. It was very satisfying to see. But I think the defense is by far and away the most exciting thing that has Cougar Nation excited going forward. And I'm not breaking any new ground here, but the offense. But the one particular part of the offense that worries me is just that run game and is the offensive line getting the push? Because if you're not getting a push against Sam Houston. Now, by the way, Sam Houston had some ballers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they weren't to the level that BYU is going to face all year round.
Right.
Now, it's going to be a little bit of a step back against SUU, but I've got to see that offensive line get push and the running backs be able to find holes, not in the third and fourth quarter, but first and second quarter as well against SUU. That, I think that's the fact that the offense stalled out could be expected, especially when your two best receivers and Hill and Epstein play in the game. That's understandable. You're going to see some hiccups there. But the run game's something that I thought that BYU'd be able to lean into and lean on, and there wasn't much leaning into or leaning on in that run game on or off the field.
Was the offensive line that was so highly touted during fall camp severely overhyped? That was the first thing that came to my brain. When they weren't getting that push. And like you said, if they can't get that push against Sam Houston, they're going to be having a rough time. And I know there's a lot of new faces. You got Kingsley, Suan Matia, Caleb Etienne, Waylon Lapuahu, Paul Maile, Connor Pay. They need to gel, right? They haven't been playing together for years and years. But these guys are veteran, big, strong guys. Like, they should, and very smart, they should be able to be getting that push. So I'm curious what went on there. Do you think they were overhyped? I'm curious what you guys think.
I mean, I don't think they're overhyped. I do think it takes time to gel, like real games to gel. Like, and so I think it's going to take another game or maybe two for them to really click. I do the coaches show, and we had Paul Miley on the show on Tuesday night, and you know, he was even like, he said, like, we'll do better. We need to do better.
Yeah, but of course.
I didn't sense any sort of panic or anything like that in the way he delivered that description. So I think, you know, I still need to reserve my judgment for like another game.
Yeah.
Before I actually say they're overhyped. But yeah, time will tell.
Well, and frankly, if they come out against SUU and totally dominate, don't buy into that either.
Right.
I mean, I want to see Arkansas. I want to see Kansas. Yep. I want to see those games before I'm starting to. Do I need to buy stock or sell stock in the BYU offensive line?
Yeah, Arkansas for me is the line. Yeah. That's where we figure out who they are and what they are. Yeah. These first two games will be just kind of them feeling out what they do best and how to gel together as a team.
And I'm wondering if we overhyped the defense. I'm hoping not. But, I mean, Sam Houston had a brand-new offense too, right? So, I mean, they're coming out. They're not going to be doing very well. They're trying to figure their stuff out. So, of course, BYU – you know, being the better team is going to come out and have a stellar performance against them. So I'm hoping also, I think we need to have realistic expectations, not only for the offense, but also on the defensive side.
Are you short selling the team that is leading the nation in scoring defense? I mean, Lauren, come on.
Ben.
0 points on the year. Don't they're hype that son of a gun.
We're winning the national championship. Also, I do have to say, Ryan Rico is a weapon for BYU. I know people.
As long as he's kicking numbers.
I know. Hey, Kalani said we might still see it later on in the season. I hope so.
Oh, boy.
I think he's going to give.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think he's going to give the defense so many chances this season with that strong leg. And I think it takes some pressure off both sides of the ball to know you have a guy like that. Like, that definitely is a weapon.
I thought Greg Rubel had one of my favorite calls of the game on the broadcast with him and Hans Olsen on the radio broadcast where. It was I think it was Rico's third or fourth punt, and it was one of those where they were backed up inside their own 25. And Gregor Bell says, once again, Ryan Rico with plenty of field to work with with the punt to deliver a booming punt. And he did.
And the crowd goes wild once again because that's the only thing they can cheer about.
It's a double-edged sword, man. Yeah. Like, you like to see Ryan Rico booming those punts, you know, but then you're like, he's kind of punting too much.
Let Rico cook, baby.
All aboard the Rico train.
Here's some of the offensive stats from the game. Keaton Slovis, 20 for 33, 144 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns. LJ Martin, 16 carries, 91 rush yards. Darius Lassiter, 4 catches for 43 yards. And Chase Roberts, 5 catches for 42 yards. What were some of the positives you guys took away from the offense performance? Let's start with Ben.
I think the positives, LJ Martin, obviously. Although I think everybody's putting stock into what we saw LJ, and I think that is a little bit of an overreaction coming out of game one. A lot of his yards came in the third or fourth quarter. And frankly, I'm not taking anything away because he did look good, but you're in the third or fourth quarter against a team that's making that transition up from FCS to FBS. So how much of that is you finally wore him down? That there's a question mark there, but I'm not taking away because LJ took his opportunity and capitalize on it. That's great, because now you're getting, now that running back group looks deeper, and that's what you want to see there. I think that's a positive. I think the fact that the receivers were able to make some plays, I mean, they didn't make a lot of plays, but without Epps and Hill, I think that's nice to know that there is depth at the receiving core. And the fact that I think this is a really kind of maybe this is an illusion. Maybe, I don't know, I'm looking too deep. The fact that even with the offensive struggling, Keaton Slovis seemed to have a grasp and control of what was going on the field. Even though things weren't going well, he never lost his composure. I mean, he still was that what you'd expect out of, what is he, a tenth year quarterback? This ain't his first rodeo. I think that's important to see from your quarterback when things are going wrong.
Yeah. Hema, what do you think?
I think Ben brings up a good point with Keaton Slovis. Like, you know, it's easy to, if you're not running the ball well and you're forced to throw a lot more, you start to force balls into places that they shouldn't be, resulting in a bunch of picks and things like that.
Yeah.
And we didn't see that from Keaton, which is fantastic. Now, again, it's first game. Can't really take too much away from either side of both the positives and the negatives. But the fact that they were, you know, able to still put up two touchdowns,
yeah,
like during a lackluster performance is, you know, not bad. I don't think it's concerning yet.
Right. And we'll see. Only time will tell. I really like the strong start. I think they came out of that first drive and did exactly what they needed to do. It was fun seeing Keaton rush for the first time ever in his career have a rushing touchdown. I think he's a little quicker than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, he really, watching him run, I was like, getting my binoculars. Is that Keaton running? Wow, all right. He's got a little pep in his step. There were way too many penalties, and I wonder how different the score would have been had they played a little bit cleaner. Because it was kind of, they had a great first drive, and then penalty. And,
of course,
that's going to take a toll on how you're playing, and everyone's trying to, you know, gel with each other. So that's got to be frustrating to get so many penalties and keep that momentum going. I agree. Obviously, L.J. Martin was the bright spot in the offense. He looks so poised for a freshman, just like he'd been doing it for years. And I'm excited to see how he progresses throughout the season. But I still really want to see Aiden Robbins and Deion Smith get their chance to shine. I think it was kind of I felt bad for them a little bit after the game, didn't you?
Like, a little bit. But Kalani said, you know, in the post game, he's like, you know, we just kind of rode the hot hand. And that's kind of what you do with the running back room. You know, whoever can get it done that day gets the, you know, a bunch of snaps in a row. But I agree. I think Aiden Robbins, you know, I think a big, strong back needs a lot more time to adjust to this offense. And I'm hoping to see a lot more carries from him this next game.
We talked about this is the first shutout since 2014 and the impressive performance of the defense. But do you guys think it was more Sam Houston being bad or BYU's defense being so good? Ben, let's start with you.
I'm going to go BYU's defense. Sam Houston, they had some – I mean, we're talking on tiers here. But for who they are, I thought they had some really good players on that team, and I thought that they were doing really good things. I just think that defense is – there's some holes on that defense. I think there's some worry and some inexperience at safety. I would have liked to see just a little bit more from the defensive line. But the linebackers, the cornerbacks, you mentioned that at the start of the show – I think they had a fantastic game, and I think that's like got. I think the excitement surrounding the defense is legit. I think it's. I don't think you need to temper it too much.
Yeah.
Especially based off of past experiences, I think it's something that as a BYU fan, you can and should be excited about.
Yep, I agree. BYU did a really good job. I think, you know, considering, you know, first couple weeks of the season, they're going to run a lot of basic stuff, right? Even the defensive side. And so the defense showed a lot of what they're capable of doing without Micah Harper. Like, that was for me the biggest question mark. And so I think the defense just played phenomenal. And I don't know if you remember, like, that was a wild first week of football, including, like, the Colorado.
Yeah.
And Shedeur Sanders from Colorado, like, that someone asked him, like, what's the difference between FCS, FBS, and, like, Division One, Two? And he's like, there's not much different except for, like, the line. The line is where, like, you see the biggest discrepancies. But he's like, talent-wise, in skill positions, they're pretty close. And so, like, you know, not to say Sam Houston's some kind of world beater, but, like, they've got athletes, like Ben says, on the side of that side of the ball. So
you give them respect.
Yeah.
And I like that they've said this week, coaches and players, a win is a win, right? And then you just got to build off of that. Let's look at some quotes from the different coordinators this week. Aaron Rodgers told Greg Rebell in Coordinator's Corner that the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter, he realized Sam Houston couldn't do anything against BYU's defense. So he said, let's just play it smart, get out of here with a win, and fix our issues. He said he knows it wasn't a lot of fun to watch, but he felt like it was his responsibility to take care of the football and just get the win. How do you feel about that mentality of playing it safe, Emma?
I think it's smart. You got to, first couple games of the season. You want to feel out your players' levels individually. And so, like, the best way to do that is to not, without, you know, without the coaching element of, like, running stunts or, like, different kind of unique packages and things like that. You can see straight up 1v1, like, how your corners fare against their receivers. That's my opinion. I think it's the smart thing to do. That's the way it should have been done. And they did well. Like, people complain that, like, you know, we were happy that when Jay Hill came in that he said there's going to be a lot more pressure. There's going to be a lot of sacks and stuff like that. And, like, I saw some people complaining about, like, not having a lot of sacks that game. But it's like they're not going to run stunts and twists and things like that.
Right.
They're going to keep it basic.
You're not looking for style points in week one. Right. That doesn't make the win any better, any worse. There wasn't style points. And A-Rod's right. It wasn't. They were just trying to get the win.
Yeah.
Great. Fine. And he's right. It wasn't fun to watch. Someone may have been in the press box watching Texas Tech Wyoming on their laptop. I can't confirm or deny that, but there were more exciting games to watch that night. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, that's why I have mixed feelings. I mean, if you were Utah playing Florida with all eyes on you, or Colorado playing TCU, then maybe you do throw out a few more stuff and do a little more things because all eyes are on you. But BYU playing Sam Houston, not very many people are watching you at midnight.
We're in the entertainment business. They're in the win business.
Right.
Yeah, he trusted the defense and knew they were playing lights out. Get LJ some reps, take care of the ball. I think he did the right thing. Jay Hill talked about his reasons for being on the sideline during games instead of in the booth. Do you like that Jay Hill is on the sideline with the team, Ben?
I don't really care, to be honest with you. I a lot of people try to make a lot about where your coordinators sit and what they're seeing. What's comfortable for the coordinator?
Yeah.
Just because your D-core, your offense coordinator's on the field doesn't mean that they don't have a set of eyes they trust upstairs. And as long as that information's coming down and they're getting a feel of where it's not a big deal to me. That's the best way to say it. I don't really care.
What do you think, Hamilton?
Yeah, I want him on the field.
Yeah.
You know, I still think of Jay Hill as a head coach. And so having two head coaches on the sidelines is, I think, big deal for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like that he talked about he likes to look his players in the eyes and helps them feel confident. And you saw all the energy he was bringing to LaVell Edwards Stadium just on the sideline with the guys. I think he's where he needs to be. Coming up, we'll check the scores around the Big 12 and discuss if we're more or less confident in BYU having a winning season. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McLean alongside Hema Hemuli and Ben Bagley. The Big 12 had a mixed showing in week one with a handful of upsets. The losses were TCU against Colorado. They lost 42-45. Texas Tech lost to Wyoming 33-35. And then Baylor lost to Texas State 31-42. West Virginia lost to Penn State 15-38.
Woof.
Woo! Those were some subpar showings. There were some blowout wins. UCF, Kansas, Texas, K-State, Oklahoma, Cincy, and Iowa State all had some blowout. And then some close ones. Obviously, BYU and Sam Houston, Oklahoma State beat Central Arkansas 27-13. And then UTSA and Houston. Houston just barely got the edge, 17-14. Seeing the other Big 12 schools get upset this past weekend, does that make you feel better about BYU's chances of having a winning season, Hema?
Not necessarily better. It did kind of tweak the formula I had for calling BYU's wins and losses, you know, before the season.
Yeah.
So I might have to tweak things there. But, you know, it doesn't ultimately matter for, like, in-conference stuff. It only matters for the national championship, and BYU is still in the running for the national championship. Let's go.
Let's go.
The
one thing that stands out to me, I mean, does it increase your chance? I think maybe a little bit, because I think people thought TCU was going to be better than they were. So, but what are we?
And
what
Texas
are we,
Tech.
Yeah, what are we asking? Are we okay? Are we shooting for a winning season? I don't know that changes my thing, because I think BYU was probably the low point for BYU was going to be that 6-win mark. I think personally. But what's the interesting thing that jumped out to me? 7 Big 12 teams scored 35 or more points, mm-hmm. and one of those was in a loss. There are some points being put on the board, and I think it was 9 or 10 teams 30-plus points. So if you're worried about the offensive for BYU, you may want to get a little more so.
Yeah, because that wasn't the surprising part. I mean, that's what the Big 12 is known for.
Yeah, points on the board.
Just airing it out, getting a lot of points. It made me feel a little bit better about Texas Tech and TCU. But Cincinnati scoring 66 points and Kansas scoring 48.
UCF 56.
Yes. No. Those were the guys that are supposed to be closer to BYU's level, right? Headed into the Big 12. Those are the guys you're like, oh, I'm not your mark in the win column yet. Sure. But, I mean, those are the first couple of games that are lower in the Big 12 that BYU is going to play on their schedule. So I'm like,
yeah,
so it's kind of like you said, you maybe got to tweak
a little bit. It did make me nervous for sure. Cause like, you know, Cincinnati, all the prognostications were like BYU is going to win that one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe not. Maybe it'll be more of a slugfest than we think.
Yeah. And I think every single one of these games is going to be that way. So BYU obviously starting with Sam Houston, SUU, starting with two, I hate calling them lesser opponents. Right. But I mean, that's kind of how you look at them a little bit. You see University of Utah, for example, starting with Florida and Baylor. So do you guys like starting the season with two easier games, or do you like tougher opponents in weeks one and week two? Ben?
I'm going to tell you this right now. Kyle Whittingham is in Salt Lake City saying, don't ever, 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 ever do this to me again. Even if Florida was just a pathetic dumpster fire and Baylor struggled in week one, lost their starting quarterback, so they're going to see a diminished Baylor team week two. I don't know any P5 team that likes the idea of starting a season non-conference against two other P5 teams.
Yeah.
Now, it was different in independence. You got your big games up front because that's what P5s could schedule.
Right.
Moving forward to the Big 12, let's go. Give me an in-state, Weber State, Utah State, SUU,
Utah Tech.
Technological, whatever it is.
Weber
State.
One of those. Let's keep one in state. Of the lesser schools, and that hurts being an Aggie myself, but the lesser schools in state. And then give me something, maybe a G5, maybe it's that FCS team, whatever, before you get to conference. If I'm Tom Homo, if I'm Kalani Sitake, that's exactly what I want, because – this year and then again next year when the conference expands out to 16, some bangers of some games in there. And you don't want – I mean, Baylor lost their starting quarterback in week one. You don't want to lose guys going into the conference season because that's where it's at. If you win your conference, you go to the expanded playoff of 12 teams. You want to have your guys in check, ready to go in the conference season. So I'm okay with
you
it.
You agree?
I agree. Give me an FCS team like week one, knock the rust off, maybe a better team – you know, week two.
Just kind of tears.
Yes. Slowly, and then maybe a G5 team come week three or something. Because, yes, exactly.
Like this year, the two games with like SUU and Sam Houston, then you get an Arkansas. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Like, give me one P5 team of going into conference. Give me that marquee game that you can sell to TV networks.
Because that's going to be a leap.
Yeah.
That's going to be
Sure.
A hurdle from SUU to Arkansas, but hashtag blessed that BYU is starting with Sam Houston and SUU, right? Looking back before getting into tough conference play, I do think it could be great for the program to start off with a big win with a lot of eyes, putting your name in the mix early if you do well and win, especially with these teams, I mean, kind of like BYU, where you're not always in the mix. You're not Alabama. You're not Tennessee. You know, like, all eyes are not on you from the beginning. So there is some value to starting off with just like a boom if you do well.
Yeah. I mean, there is also like merit to like following the quote unquote SEC model of like you have the easy games at the beginning because you know you're going to get beat up toward the end of the season. Yeah. I think BYU needs to shift their focus to kind of that. Like we're in the Big 12 now. We're going to get beat up late in the season. So
keep your guys healthy.
Let's ease ourselves in there.
Yeah, ease them in. Setting the scene for Saturday, Southern Utah barely lost to Arizona State, 24-21. They're clearly a good team.
Let's be clear, Arizona State, a lesser team.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Arizona State, but we're going to be playing them next year, possibly.
Yeah. Hey, that's a win.
Big 12 brothers.
Chalk it up. Clearly a good team in SUU. They have a lot to prove against an in-state rival playing in a huge stadium. BYU needs to be careful. But they know that. BYU is historically mediocre in day games. Since 2020, BYU is 6-7 in games that kicked off before 6 p.m. local time. And the wins weren't that impressive, the ones that they did get. Idaho State, Washington State, Georgia Southern, Northern Alabama, UTSA, and Utah Tech. With all that, what does BYU need to do to restore your faith in its offense during this SUU game, Hema?
Definitely they need to be more efficient. You mentioned the penalties earlier in this show. Like, had they had not as many penalties or even none of those penalties, we probably would have felt a little better because they would have been better on third. They would have had a better conversion rating. Like, I think we would have seen more of an efficient team if it weren't for the penalties. But I am of the opinion we need to hang, like, you know, 30 on teams like this.
Yeah.
I have that opinion of Sam Houston, but we didn't do that. So personally, I would feel better if we hang 30 plus on these guys.
Yeah.
To impress half a hundy.
Wow. 50 points.
Seriously, okay, yeah. To be impressive, sure, against an SUU team, you gotta roll up half a hundy.
Yeah.
Now, that's not my expectation.
Yeah.
That's going to get me perking up in the press box going, oh. yeah. But I think realistically, you're looking at about 30-ish or so. But more importantly, I think what I want to see is the guys on offense, the Aiden Robbins. I want to see Kingsley Suamataia. I want these guys to be mistake-free.
Mm-hmm.
I want these guys to be impressive. I mean, these guys who have NFL aspirations. Kingsley may be first-round aspirations.
Mm-hmm.
Show me. Because yeah. I didn't see it against Sam Houston. Too many mistakes, not enough big plays coming from Kingsley, Aiden, Keaton Slovis to a certain extent. If we see Cody Epps and Keanu Hill, I don't know what their status is at this point. But if we see those guys, like, I want to see their playmakers making plays.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see. Now, impress me, throw half a hundy. But what I want to see is playmakers making plays.
Yeah,
I feel bad for the offensive line because. They're rarely in the spotlight, right? Unless things are going wrong, then you're like, yep. Kingsley, where are you at,
it's
man?
The life of an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Sure.
We love you guys. We truly do. We know it's because it's where it starts.
Yep.
It's like you mentioned at the beginning of the show. It's the difference between FCS, FBS is the line.
Hey, the only time the announcers mention your name as an offensive lineman is when the ref just called you for a holding.
That's true.
I would just wave. I would be like, yeah, that's right, guys. What's up? The offense was supposed to be the group that was taken care of. Coming into the season, I didn't even think much about the offense, honestly. I think everyone thought that same thing. So excited to see the defense. What's this defense going to do? After game one, you're like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? We didn't need to worry about them because they had the veteran guys, a huge O-line, veteran coach, proven scheme. But you got to love college football, right? Because things can change on a dime. And it makes it exciting, I guess, for all of us. You can see it in that respect. I think the offense needs to score a lot of points to restore fans' faith in them. Plain and simple. Let's say, for me, score at least 35.
Okay.
I don't know why. That number just feels,
it's a good number.
Feels good to me because I don't think
it's a good hand
half
Lee
a
number.
Hundy. Jumping from 14 points to half a hundy, Ben, I mean, that's.
You asked me what would be impressive. Half a hundy. That's impressive.
I asked what would restore your faith. I think 35, my faith would be restored.
Okay, fair.
In what I previously thought was the offense was going to be. So I think the Cougars have the talent to do it if they can get their ducks in a row. You guys agree with that?
Yes.
Can we all agree?
I concur.
Ben?
All in favor?
Okay. I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming on. That does it for us today. Thanks again to Hema Hemuli and Ben Bagley for coming on the show with me. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.